Good afternoon. And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, St. John Lutheran Church on this, the third Wednesday in Advent, our last midweek service for the season of preparation as we get ready for Christmas next week. Special thank you to our kindergarten and first grade students for their singing here this afternoon, along with playing on the recorder and one flautist there as well. Next week, of course, will be the celebration of Christmas, Christmas Eve on Tuesday. We have a 3 o'clock service, 5 o'clock service. Both of those are family services. For the same service just twice. 7:15 will be divine service with the Lord's Supper, and then 10 p.m. our lessons and carol service. Have a service then on Wednesday morning, that's 10 a.m. for our Christmas Day service. We will not have any services the next two Wednesday nights. So if you're a Wednesday night normally attending member, then please do make note of that. We do have services the next two Tuesday nights, however, for Christmas Eve and then New Year's Eve, but no services on Christmas night, that is the 25th, nor on New Year's Day evening. So next two Wednesdays, no services in the evening. Next two Tuesdays, services in the evening. All right, we got that? I'll try and remember that too, because I'll probably forget. And we do have one last dinner following our service here this afternoon. You can join us down in the fellowship hall once the service has concluded. I believe it is Sloppy Joe's that is on the menu, so you're welcome to join us for that. And we give thanks to God for Mrs. Alicia Hagen playing on the organ for tonight, as Mr. Williams is not able to get back for this service, but will be back for this evening. We begin now with our first hymn, hymn 412, The People That in Darkness Sat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Let us pray.
Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for our third Advent midweek service is from Isaiah chapter 9. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Together we confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue to use Isaiah chapter 9 as the theme for our Advent series, we come now to the last of our midweek sermons about the titles of Jesus before we get to Christmas. Wonderful Counselor was first. Mighty God, of course, was second, and now Everlasting Father. Now that is not a title that many in our modern culture would likely desire. You've likely heard the cries of many today, down with the patriarchy. Masculinity must give way to femininity, or to whatever itty you might claim. But the patri in patriarchy comes from the Greek word for father, and the archy comes from the Greek word for ruler. So patriarchy is a fatherly rule, and God does not care what people think of that title for his Christ, Everlasting Father. He's not walking it back because some today might take offense. But in his perfect wisdom and his presence through all time, God certainly knew how people would come to think of such a title today. But even so, this title is given to the child to be born who would hold the government upon his shoulders, who would be the Savior of all the world. But why? Why this title, Everlasting Father? As always, when the scriptures speak of Jesus, God's Son, as this is, of course, God's holy word, at the very center is Jesus Christ as the Savior. Christ as Wonderful Counselor speaks into existence, peace, and forgiveness, and faith. Christ as Mighty God shows his power over all of the strongest and the toughest aspects that we face in this life. As Mighty God, he alone is qualified to secure grace unlimited for all sinners. And as Everlasting Father, Jesus, God's Son, is to be seen as the true leader for God's people. He who is true God and true man. So think of our use of the term founding fathers. We consider those who were instrumental in establishing the governmental system for our country. And whether or not they were human fathers, they were leading figures in founding the nation. George Washington is often referred to as the father of our country for his role in leading America to freedom and to self-governance. Hebrews 12, verse 2, calls Jesus the founder and the perfecter of our faith. To be the founder is to be the originator. So Christ Jesus is the origin, the starting point of our salvation, for he alone is the God-man who can stand in our place and win our redemption. As the author and the originator and the founder of our salvation and thus our saving faith, Jesus is truly the father figure for us as Christians. He leads us and he guides us in his word through his great power as the one who provides for all of our needs of body and of soul. Jesus, bearing that title, that of Everlasting Father, sheds light on how it is that he rules. Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, having all authority in heaven and on earth being given unto him. As perfecter of our faith, Jesus has completed the work of our salvation. That means nothing can be added to what Jesus has already done. And no one can do better than when Christ himself has already accomplished. And as the completer of our justification before God, Christ Jesus loves his people and he cares for you. He continues then to stand guard over you as your great provider and your protector. You belong to Christ through baptism into his sacred name, that of Jesus, God's own Son. Jesus says in John 14, our gospel text for tonight, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Christ Jesus, the Father's Son, secures you unto himself as he is secured to the Father. What adds even more to this beautiful truth is the adjective that goes with the title, everlasting. Methuselah, the oldest known man to have ever lived, 969 years old. Knowing this, I think it is safe to say that no one on earth has ever lived for more, or has ever ruled for more than 950 years. And probably not even close. Recent history, the longest reign would peak at 80 years. Now, that may seem like a long time in our earthly context, but it is a pittance. Kings, queens, presidents, prime ministers, governors, mayors, all leaders come and go. No one ruling today will still be in power in 2124. It would be rather frightening for any sinful human being to possess such power for so long. But thankfully, Christ Jesus is holy. And he is just, and he is pure. He is the God-man, and he is the everlasting Father. So his reign and his rule has always been and will always be. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. The Son of God has always, always existed, eternally begotten from the Father. He has no beginning and he has no end. And he is the beginning of all things and he is the end of all things. As such, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, becomes human in the flesh. And he is always, even then, in power. He always has control. Many around us may laugh at such an idea. That is some God that you have there, he who has power over all things and yet allows all this wickedness and evil and sin to continue. We cannot pretend to understand or know what God is up to, what he is thinking, and why he allows what he allows. But what we do know is that God is patient, and he is loving, slow to anger, abounding in that steadfast love, patient toward you, not wanting that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance, as Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3. Truly, God's ways are not our ways. As Isaiah the prophet had recorded, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. That is a very blessed thing, for we would not even begin to think of salvation like God does. Nor would we be inclined to extend grace and forgiveness and mercy to all when true justice and punishment and condemnation is rightly deserved. Our good and gracious God rules all things in this goodness and this love and this mercy for all of eternity. He is God from everlasting to everlasting. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. This is the God who became one of us. He who is to be ruler over Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days, as the prophet Micah foresaw. The one to rule forever is the one who has been ruling forever. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, has always been and will always be. He has no beginning and he has no end. And from this powerful reign of Christ as King, the Son of God has entered into created time and space to take on our mortal flesh, our human nature. For a little while, he descended to be lower than the angels. He humbly took on the form of a servant. Christ Jesus became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. The everlasting Father, as the title given to Christ in Isaiah 9, has died for you, his own beloved children, granting you forgiveness, salvation, and everlasting life through his blood. Even while an embryo, a fetus, an infant, a toddler, an adolescent, even while suffering abuse and shame and while dying upon the cross, even while resting in the tomb of death, Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father. His rule has been from eternity and will be for all eternity. For this everlasting Father is Jesus, your Savior, your King, your Redeemer, your brother in mortal human flesh, your God and your Lord, now and forever, to life everlasting. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand together to sing the offertory. Seated once more as the tithes and offerings are collected. Thank you. We stand now for the prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. Lord, in your mercy, show us the reality of eternity with you, O God. Help us to look beyond our personal problems of this day to that everlasting joy in your presence that awaits us by your gracious invitation. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty God, we come to you in faith. Gracious Lord, trusting that you were and are God in the flesh, our Emmanuel. Strengthen all who are in distress from the worldly forces that surround them. Assure them of your presence, strengthen their faith, and lead them to your eternal kingdom, where we may all rejoice together in your love and your grace. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting Father, we come to you, O Lord, who conquered sin and death as ruler of creation, while also serving your people as a caring father. Grant us to know always your eternal presence among us, and help us to amend our lives and pass on the joy of your eternal forgiveness to our neighbors, friends, and family. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting Father, you healed the sick and defeated death by your resurrection from the dead. According to your gracious will, heal the sick and comfort the suffering, especially those we bring now before you in our hearts. Grant healing according to your will and strengthening of faith, no matter what they face. Lord, in your mercy. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna,
our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We're seated now as the closing hymn is sung.